Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer need today, a prayer request, let us know. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is the number to call to make your prayer request known. You can also email or text us at prayer@yeshome.com. However you do it, just let us know what's on your heart today, and we will lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us, your grace, your mercy, for your many blessings that you pour out upon us each day. Lord, we thank you for our listeners and pray that you will bless those who call in today with their prayer requests. Lord, that you would meet their needs, meet those requests. Lord, that they would see the power, your power, at work in them. And the power of your Spirit to work upon them. And Lord, give glory to your name as you are working in them and through them. And Lord, we pray that you will exalt yourself in our lives and glorify yourself in our lives. As each prayer comes as an opportunity for you to reveal your glory in us. And we thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory because indeed you are worthy of it. And we praise your name. Amen. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we never give out your name or information unless, you know, for some reason you would specifically ask us to, which occasionally happens. But generally, unless you specifically mention or ask us to, we always keep it anonymous. In fact, you don't even have to tell us who you are when you call or text in. So don't let that hinder you from getting prayer, because we realize some prayer requests are personal. If you're calling about, you know, problems in your marriage or something like that, you don't necessarily want that broadcast over the radio, but we still want you to get the prayer you need. So this way we just keep it anonymous, so we don't want anyone not getting the prayer that they need because of that. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we like to get into the Word of God. And we've been looking at the book of Thessalonians, and we're just coming toward the end. Probably here in the next couple of days we'll finish this up. We'll see whether we move tortoise-like or sloth-like through it. But we are in the final verses here, but there's a lot of good stuff here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul's giving out his final word, his final instructions to the Thessalonian church. He says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." We'll stop there and look at these. So Paul giving some general encouragement to the church, and just a reminder, the context of where Paul's writing, the church in Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was a very important port city, the largest city in its district. And Paul had gone there to start a church and had done so, but due to persecution in the city, had to leave after really just about a month in the city. So normally he might go and spend a year getting a church started and established and making sure it was really good and he had solid leadership there that he could lead in charge. Didn't get that opportunity in Thessalonica. Was chased out of the city after about a month. So really didn't get to establish the church in the way that he would normally like to. And that led to some concern for them, which Paul addressed in the early part of the letter, concern of how the church would grow and develop. And eventually sends Timothy back and gets a report back. And to his joy, finds that the church is flourishing. It's growing, not just growing in number, but growing in maturity, that they are faithfully following after Christ. They're showing love to one another. They're doing the things that they should. It's a good, solid church. And so Paul writes this letter, and you know, some of the letters he writes in the New Testament, he's admonishing churches and challenging them on some errors that they're in. But in this letter, it really is just an encouraging letter to a church that's growing in strength. And he wants to encourage them to continue in that path, continue in that work. He also wants to answer some questions, especially about, they had questions about what happens when people die and what about the second coming of Jesus. And so he addresses some of those, and now kind of giving some general instructions to them, beginning with his encouragement to honor those who are in leadership over them, respecting those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. And again, don't hear admonish as like, you know, discipline you and things like that, but the people who are teaching them and encouraging them and challenging them to live faithful lives. You know, Paul asking them to honor their leadership and honor those who have been placed in these positions of pastor and head of the church, elders. You know, this is not something that is strong in our country these days. There used to be a great respect for authority, and respect for people who are ahead of or over us in different areas. And that was just kind of woven into the fiber and character of our nation. And that has really, is probably starting in the 60s, begun to diminish. And now it's all about challenging authority. And while we're not called to blindly follow people, we are called to honor those who have been given authority over us, honor those in leadership. It's a hard job. It's not easy. We need to respect that and respect that they're working for our benefit and to help us. And this is a theme that will come up again. Paul will mention this. It comes up several times in the Bible about giving proper respect and proper honor to those who have been placed in positions of authority by God. That, and we know, you know, God has said that those who are put in positions to teach and to lead the church are going to be held to a high standard. They're going to have to answer to God for how they conduct their work. And so, you know, there is a higher standard, if you will, for them. And God is judging them. You know, it's a tougher test, if you will, I guess. If you're being judged on the curve, you know, we're on the wrong end of the curve, so to speak. And so Paul wants the people to, you know, be an encouragement to their leaders by showing that respect and authority to them, because they are there to care for you. And so he says, hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. You know, when it's properly being done, you know, the work of a pastor or an elder or leader in the church is to be a shepherd, to care for the souls of the people that have been entrusted to them, watch over them, help them to grow, make sure they're walking in the faith, make sure they're on track with the Lord. That's a significant job. It's an important job. And certainly it's an important job to us, right? They're trying to help us and keep us on that right track so that we don't lose our way and preserve our salvation. And so he begins with that admonition. Honor those who are in authority over you. Our society says question all authority, but Paul says honor all authority. Our society says challenge authority. Our side says no, follow it. And again, not blindly, not uncritically, but that should be our default position until they were given reason not to. See, the world says you question authority whether they give you reason to or not. You just question them simply for the fact that they're in authority. They're in authority, then they need to be questioned. They're automatically suspect. But that's not the attitude we're to have. In fact, we're to have the exact opposite attitude, where they are not automatically suspect, but rather our default position is to give honor and respect to them until or unless they, by their actions, show that they are not worthy of it. We don't begin with that assumption. The world does. And so we're not to be like that. We're to love them and encourage them so that they can do the job that God has given them to do. Secondly, so he tells us this is how we're to deal with authority, but then with each other, he says, live at peace with each other. Live at peace. So that's the first command. Live at peace with each other. Be a peaceful community. But the very next thing he's going to tell us to do is warn each other. So he wants us to live at peace, but that doesn't mean that, you know, we never have any confrontation. We never deal with any issues. We just let's go along to get along and just keep everybody, you know, happy. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of justice and the presence of God. And so we live at peace with each other, but that doesn't mean that there won't be times when we need to challenge each other. And again, in love, with encouragement, but as Paul says, we need to warn some people. Warn those who are idle. Talking about sloths and turtles today. Sloths and tortoises. They're not to be slothful and tortoise-like people among us. We're not to be idle. We're to be about our work. God has given us all work to do. You know, this is a problem with idleness. It's not just that, you know, you're 30 years old and living in mom and dad's basement playing Fortnite all day. It's that you are wasting the talents and gifts and abilities that God has given you. You remember the parable of the talents, right? The one who gets 10 goes out and doubles it. The one who gets 5 goes out and doubles it. But the one who had 1 just buries it. Doesn't do anything with it. Doesn't even try to get interest on it. Just buries it. And when the Lord comes back, just gives them back to him. But he hasn't really developed it or done anything with it. He's wasted it. And that's what we're doing when we're idle. We're wasting the gifts that God has given us. We're wasting the abilities he's given us. We're wasting the things he created in us to use for his glory. And so Paul says, warn the idle. Let them know you have something to contribute. You have value. You have worth. You have abilities and talents, and you need to use them. And you're just wasting them because you're idle. It's time to get up and start using those gifts God has given you. Likewise, he says, encourage the timid. You know, and again, I think it goes back to using those gifts and being bold about them. Some people are timid. Some people are reticent to be put too much out there. We need to encourage those folks to say, again, you have something to contribute. You have something to offer. You have something this body needs, and we need you to share it. Because without it, we're incomplete. We're not functioning on all cylinders. He says, help the weak. So we're to warn, we're to encourage, and we're to help. Help those who are weak. If there's someone weak in the faith, new in the faith, struggling in the faith, help them. What can we do to encourage them? What can we do to help them? What can we do to build them up? But lastly, I notice what he says at last. Be patient with everyone. And I think that's the key to all these. We need to warn the idle, encourage the timid, strengthen the weak, help the weak. But in all that, we need to have patience. Give encouragement to a timid person one time. You know, maybe it bolsters them up to be more bold in that moment. But, you know, they're still kind of going to be timid in their personality. Doesn't mean we're not going to have to come back again and encourage them some more. It's not like you do it once. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. Boom, off, no longer timid. And we need to recognize that and be patient with them. Not being, you know, getting frustrated and like, why aren't you changing? Why aren't you doing this? But rather, in patience, we do all these things. Recognizing that even when people want to change, sometimes it takes a while. So we're patient. And lastly, he says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always be kind to each other and everyone else. We're not a tit-for-tat kind of people. We're not an eye-for-an-eye kind of people. But we're repaying good for evil. We're paying good for wrongs. Being kind to each other. This is the characteristics of a community that's built around the Lord, where leadership is honored, people are loved and cared for, we live at peace with each other, you know? Which doesn't mean we don't challenge each other from time to time or call each other out from time to time when it needs to be done. But even that's done in patience and in love, with our desire being not to expose that other person, but rather to encourage and help them to be all that God has called them to be, in kindness and in love. That's the community Paul wants them to be. In many ways, it's the community they are. Paul encouraging them to continue on, to continue to be that, so that they can be the light of the gospel where they are. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. If you ever have a prayer request, you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. And someone here will be happy to pray with you. You can email or text your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com or go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. Can get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.